welcome once again to another episode of Contact or of SLMA Radio. So many shows. Brought to you on behalf of the thousands and thousands of members of the Sales Lead Management Association. If it has to do with sales lead management or sales lead marketing, it probably starts here with the SLMA Radio Show. One of the many, many shows right here on the Funnel Radio Network. All right, before I flub up further, let's bring on our host for today, the unflappable Jim Obermeyer. Hey, Jim.
Thank you, Paul. As people have noticed, our producer today is Paul Roberts. And Paul has a deep background in marketing.
Doesn't show today.
A deep background in PR and radio. And has also been the proprietor of an Irish bar in Newport Beach, California, but we're not going to go into that today. Paul is our co-host and will jump in occasionally to ask questions that I am too embarrassed to ask myself. So, Paul, we've got a great program today, and we've been trying to get our guest, Dana Rothman, on for a while. She had a death in the family about a month ago, and we weren't able to have her on, and we're certainly sorry for her loss. But she's agreed to come back on today, and the program we're going to talk about is defining the benefits of revenue intelligence. Now, we're going to ask her three questions in this process today. Does marketing really believe in revenue attribution? Why doesn't marketing regularly report on revenue created by their programs? And what's it going to take to get marketing off the dime and to do this on a regular basis? Now, marketing is all about connecting investments to revenue, and making sense of the situation very often is even harder. So says BrightFunnel, and Dana is the CMO at BrightFunnel. We agree that this should always be the way, and marketing gives lip service to this, but when it really comes to delivering, they do the hum and the hawing, and they don't seem to get around to it, the majority of them. Now, I'm certain some of the larger companies do this, but we know for a fact, but many of the middle funnel and lower companies out there just don't get around to it. Now, Dana Rothman is BrightFunnel's VP of Marketing and Sales Development. She's got almost a decade of experience in B2B marketing technology, authored Lead Generation for Dummies, and has won industry awards for her work in marketing. Previously, Dana was the VP of marketing at Everstring and also led to content marketing at Marketo for over 3 years. She's got a BA in English from Southern Connecticut State University and an MBA from Golden State University. She was interviewed on Demand Gen Radio, which is where I really ran into her, one of the programs we produce with David Lewis. And she's on today with us. Dana, welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm super excited to be here today.
Well, we're glad that you're able to tackle this revenue intelligence issue, and I know that that's what BrightFunnel does. And at the end of our program today, we'll ask you to say a little bit more about BrightFunnel, but don't hesitate to bring up BrightFunnel in this discussion, because what they're doing is such an integral part of this whole revenue attribution and revenue intelligence. Now, does marketing really believe in revenue attribution? Only some seem to believe in it. What about the rest? Are they, for the most part, Paul shaking his head here, saying, no, they don't, no, they don't, no, they don't, yes, they do. Why don't they believe in it to the point where they're actually doing it?
Well, I think there's a few things going on. So certainly, if you don't believe in it yet, if you don't believe in actually tying marketing investment to, revenue and business outcomes, as a marketer, you're certainly going to be very soon asked to do so. I think that, really there's a couple of things at play as to why, marketers are just now kind of coming to the realization that this needs to happen. So for one, it's historically been incredibly difficult to tie marketing investments to revenue. Historically marketers have talked about generating leads and, their programs being the source of deals. But, as a buyer, there's a lot of different, you know, types of engagements that you do with a business over a period of time, through the sales funnel and through the buyer journey. So a lot of marketing is, you know, really all of those different touch points along those journey, and tying those together has historically been incredibly difficult. Also difficult to tie offline and online activities together. So there certainly in the past has been a barrier to entry when it comes to the type of technologies that marketers are using. And I think the other thing that is going to be, you know, rapidly changing as all of these technologies become available is that historically marketers haven't really been asked as much to come up with this data. You know, marketers of the past, it's really been very heavy on brand awareness and lead gen, and a lot of, you know, the C-suite just really hasn't asked to tie that, all those marketing dollars directly to business outcomes. But as, you know, again, as data becomes more available and technologies start improving, and as, you know, the C-suite becomes more knowledgeable of what marketing can do, marketers will be asked more and more to do this.
Well, it's very interesting. One of the first marketing jobs I had was it's actually the third one, a marketing communications job with the Beckman Instruments many years ago. And Dave McKee one day called me into his office. And it was budgeting time of the year. And Dave sat me down and he said, "Jim, I've given you more money the last 2 years, each year, haven't I?" "Yes, you have, Dave. You've been very good." "And we seem to be increasing sales in the division." "Yes, sir, we are." "We seem to be getting more attention from the salespeople who sell our products." "Yes, we do." "You're asking for a 20% increase this year, aren't you, Jim?" "Yes, I am." "Unless you can prove that what you're spending is directly tied to revenue, I can't give you that." And that was the discussion 25-plus years ago. Mm-hmm. And ever since then, that is what got me going on lead management. That's what got me going to find a better lead management system and eventually a CRM system. But CRM doesn't seem to – CRM is like sheet music. Everybody's got it, but nobody can hum the proper tune. CRM right. has the promise. Oh, yes, if you only get our program, we can prove the return on investment, because the salespeople will do – they'll report on everything. But the reality right. is it's been a lie. It isn't possible, yes. or it's only possible for the most dedicated marketers who slam the salespeople and make it their job to report on it. So I hate to be so passionate about this, but it's been this constant program chasing all these years. So why doesn't marketing regularly report on this revenue creation? Was the CRM systems, are most CRM systems just too stupid to do it?
So there's a couple of limitations when it comes to a CRM. So you've got, you know, limitations within the business and within the business process. And I'll talk a little bit about that. But then there's also limitations of the system itself, which I'll also talk about. So very similar to what you're saying is that, you know, in order for, you know, to see that full picture of what the buyer journey looks like and what, you know, especially if you're in B2B, if you're in B2B and you're selling into other companies, typically that decision team could be upwards of 8-9 people that are interacting with your brand. It's not generally just, it's not generally just one person making that decision. And so as a result, there's a lot of these different interactions happening, you know, across the company. And in order to get that true picture of what's going on, you need to have your salespeople, you know, go into the CRM and attach all of the different contacts to an opportunity that has ever interacted with your brand. And, you know, most folks that have been in this business for a while know that, like, that's just something that sales reps typically don't do. Like, maybe you can force them to attach, you know, one contact to an opportunity, but certainly not all of the contacts involved. So that's problem number one. You're really not getting the full picture of what's going on within an account, and you're not understanding that full true engagement across that decision team.
But let me jump in here for a second.
Sure.
Shouldn't I just let's say the lead comes in from a particular company, and that's what got the initial interest. Now, we've had all this other contact, and we've had them go to trade shows, and we've had other people inquire and all this. But isn't it the original inquiry that gets the credit for the revenue created? Or are you saying that there's other tipping points along the way that really contributed to the revenue creation?
Yeah, so there needs to be those other tipping points, especially, you know, the way that today's buyers make a purchase. So buyers today, I mean, they're interacting with you online, you know, maybe they're downloading multiple ebooks, they're on your blog, they're interacting on social, they're going to an event, you know, maybe you send them a direct mail piece, or maybe your sales reps are reaching out, or maybe they click on an ad. Like, there's just so many channels and ways for buyers today to interact. And so to give credit to the source that originally brought that lead in, it's really, you know, not a true measurement of the total account engagement and, you know, how marketing is moving that lead or that group of leads through the funnel. What you really need to look at in today's modern buying cycle is multi-touch attribution, which is the concept that there's multiple touches from when a lead is first acquired all the way to close. And through the, you know, algorithms of multi-touch attribution modeling, you can assign various amounts of credit to all of those different touches along the journey. Again, because there's, you know, so many different ways that a buyer will, you know, interact directly with your brand. And so you lose a huge picture if you're just looking at source. And you're also missing out on, you know, on getting ROI on a ton of the marketing money that you are spending, kind of doing all of these touches in the middle of the funnel.
Well, certainly today, I guess, it's not I guess, it's a fact today that marketing has so many opportunities for touches that it, to a great extent you're saying, I can measure, let's say that your company, BrightFunnels software, which you've hesitated to mention, but let's face it, that's who's doing this and what's driven you, you on this track. And you've been with some other companies, and you're with this one now, and it seems to be the hot company. So are you able to say, look, if somebody touches us and pulls down four pieces of content and at least four or five other people from that same group touch us, and if the salespeople have had a demo and et cetera, then we can see this combination of occurrences will create a revenue opportunity of a much greater magnitude, not just dollars, but more than likely they're going to sit to buy. Is that right?
Yes, correct. I mean, and the other interesting piece about something like multi-touch attribution is you can, you know, find over time different patterns in how folks interact with you. Because you can break that data down, actually, and you can, you know, segment it by stuff like territory, company size, kind of whatever the different slices that you want to take of that data to look for patterns in how people are interacting with you. So if you know that, you know, a certain size company in a certain industry with a specific profile of titles, they tend to download this type of content, or they tend to, you know, interact with you at these specific events. You can be actually a lot smarter in your planning over time because you understand, you know, what the common denominators are within the data that help drive leads and certain types of accounts through your funnel.
They're very interesting. Paul's signaling me now that we're going to take a quick break here. We've been speaking with Dana Rothman. She's the CMO, Vice President of Marketing and Sales Development, I should say, at BrightFunnel. And we've been talking about the, defining the benefits of revenue intelligence, and she's helped answer the first couple of questions. Does marketing believe in revenue attribution? And it says everybody believes in it, but not everybody's doing it. Why doesn't marketing regularly report on it? And she's given us some very good insight as to why it's not happening and how we can make it happen. When we come back, we'd like to talk about what will it take and see if she's got any stories about clients and how they did the, how they accomplished the revenue attribution and were more successful because of it. Paul, over to you.
Whether you're producing a seminar series, users conference, lunch and learn, or exhibiting at a trade show, Validar has a solution. From capturing leads at trade shows to managing on-site registration, tracking session attendance, gathering information, and providing sponsors lead retrieval, we have a full suite of solutions for you. Since 2005, Validar has been turning corporate events and trade shows into better business. Call 888-784-2929 or visit us at Validar.com.
And for those of you listening to today's interview live, you may want to go and check this out immediately. Bright Funnel, the people we're talking here today, they offer revenue intelligence for marketers, powered by their patent-pending multi-touch attribution platform. The company believes that the key to accelerating revenue is orchestrating the right marketing and sales touches at the right point in the customer journey. By gaining insight into how every marketing activity influences an account, marketers can now show true impact on revenue. Amazing. That's what we're talking about today. They can also align with sales and optimize their execution. Companies like Cloudera, Lionbridge, and Ellie Mae are using BrightFunnel right now to connect marketing to revenue. You can too. It's real simple. Just go visit the website, brightfunnel.com, just like it sounds, BrightFunnel, F-U-N-N-E-L, brightfunnel.com. And as always, we want to encourage you to go take a look at a book called Predictable Prospecting by best-selling author Mary Lou Tyler. She shows you how to rapidly add qualified opportunities to your sales pipeline, ensuring consistent and predictable revenue growth. Many of you have already taken us up on the opportunity to download a free sample chapter. And for those of you who haven't, you really owe it to yourself. Check it out. See what she has to say. Mary Lou Tyler, just like it sounds. M-A-R-Y-L-O-U. T-Y-L-E-R. MaryLouTyler.com. Look for Predictable Prospecting today. All right, back to the always predictably interesting Jim Overmeer.
Now, the predictably interesting people are our guests, and today that person is Dana Rothman. She's the VP of Marketing and Sales at BrightFunnel. She's been tackling the issue, how to define the benefits of revenue marketing. Now, quickly, she went through the first question, does marketing believe in revenue attribution? She went through the second one, why doesn't marketing work to report on revenue created? And now we're going to tackle this. What will it take to get marketers to do this more often? And I asked her if she had a few tips and stories of people that are using the product from BrightFunnel. And at the end, we're going to hear a little bit more about BrightFunnel and also how to reach Dana. Dana, what's it going to take?
All right. So I think there's a couple of factors on, you know, what's it going to take. And I'll first start with, you know, I think definitely technology is going to be a key piece of what it's, you know, going to take to be able to do this is, you know, companies being able to and, you know, implement multi-touch attribution platforms that can actually help with this type of analysis. Because really, you know, without a platform that does this, you're going to be stuck in Excel. You're going to be, you know, creating incredibly complex reports in CRM, and it's just not scalable. So, you know, the technology is a big piece of it. And I think the other piece of it is going to, you know, come down from, you know, potentially the CEO or the other C-suite members of the organization in that, you know, marketing needs to have the same types of goals as sales. So as marketing's performance is being tied closer and closer to revenue, you know, they'll have to start actually reporting out on this data for the organization to see. I mean, marketing is one of the, if not the biggest budget holder in the organization, you know, between technology spend and program spend. I mean, marketing spends a lot. And so, you know, as this type of analysis becomes possible, you know, the marketing organization is going to be tied directly to revenue as far as, you know, their goals. And I think that that's going to be a huge driver to actually implement this type of technology and to look at what marketing is driving from a revenue perspective. I mean, at BrightFunnel internally, I mean, obviously we, you know, eat our own dog food. But as a marketing organization, you know, we are gold based on revenue outcomes. And so, you know, I've got funnel related goals like lead and MQL and so on, but those are just kind of my, team internal goals so that we know that we're driving towards, you know, the right place, which is revenue. But ultimately, you know, that's what I'm gold on, pipeline revenue, same as sales.
Now, do you recommend marketers get paid and part of their compensation comes from their ability to attribute their programs directly to revenue?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that's a step in the right direction. You know, again, that's what, you know, I personally am gold on. I'm also gold on generating a certain number, a certain amount of pipeline as well. And so, you know, again, having this type of technology that gives that visibility, will help increasingly drive that type of focus because, you know, having marketing goals on like how many leads are being generated, it's just a vanity metric that doesn't actually, you know, there's no business outcome there. Yes, sure, some of these leads will eventually become deals, but marketers really need to focus on, you know, what's actually driving, you know, the dollars and the bottom line. And that's getting a lot smarter about their program spend and the quality of leads that are coming through.
That's really interesting. Now, do you have any stories about companies that came to you and they weren't able to do this and now they can? And what happened with them?
Yeah, I mean, I think that all of our, you know, all of our customers come to us with this very similar problem of not being able to tie marketing activities to revenue and then us being able to help. But I think the story that I'm going to tell is my own story, because I think that, you know, it's pretty interesting kind of my journey to how I got here and how important it's been for me in my career to tie marketing spend to revenue. You know, I really started building out my career when I was at Marketo, and Marketo is a very metrics-driven organization. And so even though, you know, my key focus was more creative in that I was running their content creation, I always needed to figure out a way to tie content back to revenue. And at the time, this was incredibly difficult, even with the tools that Marketo had at its disposal. It just wasn't an exact science. It was actually quite complicated to get those metrics. And so, you know, every program that we did, it was always in the vein of, like, how are we going to measure this? So when I moved over to EverString, we had just raised a round of $70 million in financing. And so I built out the marketing team, and what the goal was we need to really build out the brand and, you know, make a big impression. You know, here's a fairly big marketing budget. So, you know, what can you do with this? But we need to make sure that it's actually driving business outcome. And so, you know, before me, it was like, all right, we got this round of funding. I'm doing all of these programs. And one of the most important things to me, at the time initially was, how am I going to measure this? And so I knew I needed a tool that was beyond CRM, beyond marketing automation, in order to make sure that I was being really smart with my program spend because I did have a larger budget at the time. And so I did an evaluation on, you know, some of these tools that had marketing attribution, and I actually brought on BrightFunnel. So I brought on BrightFunnel when I first started out at EverString. And it was really how I ran my business at that company. So all my different marketers, from event marketing to content to social, they all used the platform seamlessly in order to determine, you know, what they would do next, what was actually driving revenue, what wasn't. It's how I reported out to the CEO and to the board as well on, you know, out of all of the deals that we closed in a given quarter, you know, what had marketing sourced and what had marketing influence. And I used, you know, BrightFunnel to do that for the entire time I was there. And so when the opportunity came up for me to take this role at BrightFunnel, so about 6 months ago, it was just something I was really passionate about and really excited about because it was such a critical way that, you know, enabled me to operate my business at EverString in the most efficient way possible. And it was a piece of software that I was in every day, my team was in every day, and something that I, you know, really believed in. So that is, you know, how I ended up here and kind of my story over the years of this being a difficult challenge.
You answered both questions, really. Who is BrightFunnel? Because you gave us how it works, and also your own story. Now, how can Paul's motioning to me? We've got CRM Radio starting in a few moments. How can someone reach you, Dana?
Well, you can certainly email me directly. My email address is Dana, D-A-Y-N-A, at brightfunnel.com. You could tweet out to me as well. My Twitter handle is at dayroth, D-A-Y-R-O-T-H, or connect with me on LinkedIn.
You've been very helpful today, BrightFunnel, driven by marketing intelligence, artificial intelligence, driven by people who know how to account for the marketing spend. You've been very generous with your time today, Dana Rothman, VP of Marketing and Sales at BrightFunnel.
Thank you so much. It was lovely being on the podcast.
Thank you. Paul, let's go.
You've been listening to another episode of SLMA Radio, brought to you on behalf of the thousands and thousands of members of the Sales Lead Management Association. If it has to do with sales lead management or sales lead marketing, it probably starts here with the SLMA Radio Show. One of the many shows on the Funnel Radio Network for at-work listeners like you.